Joining us right now is Matt Hasselbeck from ESPN. He's also partnered with the End It Movement, which we will certainly get to. Matt, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Going back to the Super Bowl, I'm curious your thoughts. More surprising, the Patriots, the season that they had ending with a Super Bowl victory, or after the 2018 season that we saw, a Super Bowl where the final score was 13-3?
Yeah, that's the surprise for me. I'm not at all surprised that the Patriots won the Super Bowl. I was kind of with them all year. And, you know, they really got back to playing Patriots football those last 2 weeks against Buffalo and I think against the Jets. Really just owning the line of scrimmage, smash mouth football. I picked them to score 41 points in that Super Bowl this year. So clearly I was way, way off. I just really didn't see, the defense stepping up on both sides for both teams, really. But, I think the biggest game was just, finding a way to take down Kansas City. Kansas City was the hot team this year, and they were just incredible offensively. So I think almost more impressive than winning the Super Bowl was going to Kansas City and winning there the way that they did. That was, that was really incredible.
You were with them all year long, you say. So what did you see in October and November that the rest of us didn't see?
Well, I wasn't necessarily that I was with them in October and November as much as it was, Bill Belichick has always said real football starts after Thanksgiving. And so people throughout, the last decade have freaked out when they lost the first game of the year, or they lose to Jacksonville, or they go down, they lose to Miami. You know, we saw them on Monday Night Football last year. They didn't convert one third down, and they made the Miami Dolphins look like contenders. And it was kind of like, just being close to some of the people on that team, coaches, players, is kind of like they're not panicked, so why should we all overreact? And so I think what's happened with the Patriots is just so many people that are trying to be the first ones to predict when the Patriots, this incredible run, this incredible dynasty will be over. People keep saying Father Time's undefeated. Like, no, it's not. Father Time is not undefeated. Like Tom Brady and what he's done at his age, it continually is winning against Father Time. And so a couple of things. I think the biggest thing, though, is just that this team finds a way to play their best football late in the year. And, like Coach Belichick says, real football, really, it begins after Thanksgiving. And I think the Patriots have proved that.
So I think we have breaking news, Rossi. Father Time, one loss. One loss, and
one
it's
loss.
Tom Brady. I like it.
Yeah,
I mean, more than one. I mean, listen, even when I was 34 years old, I was the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, and it was like every single day I had to answer the question, like, well, you're getting so old. 35 is the number for quarterbacks. 35 is the number. And then, for 5 years, I mean, I was starting for the Indianapolis Colts when I was 40 years old, and every day it was like, it doesn't surprise me at all to see Tom Brady answer these questions the way that he does. Hey, how are you going to play next year? Listen, stop asking me that question. I'm going to play till I'm 45, like 50. Like, he is so tired of hearing it in some ways because of how he trains now and how he eats and all that kind of stuff. He's in better shape now. He can move better now than he could when he was 35. And I know that's how I felt, and I wasn't anywhere near as committed to the things that he's committed to nutritionally and maybe even training-wise. And so, I just, every year that he goes out and does it, it's not that he's just doing it. He's playing at an MVP level or playing at a Super Bowl winning caliber level. So Father Time has taken many L's, in my opinion, year after year with the Patriots.
Now, you look at this Patriots team, and out of all six champions, I mean, especially this team, Tom Brady lost his number one wide receiver, Josh Gordon, over a month left in the season. Gronk certainly wasn't the Gronk that he was his previous career. Would this be Tom Brady's greatest achievement at winning the Super Bowl in what, in my opinion, is the worst Patriot Super Bowl championship team, albeit relatively speaking?
Well, Brady's done so much, like his accolades, you could write two books on his accolades. But I think for Bill Belichick, to me, I think this is maybe the most incredible team victory. Like, this is a team victory all the way. Like, you're having argument after argument as to who should be the MVP. And Julian Edelman deserves it. I mean, he was amazing and uncoverable, really. But the stats you know, they were talking about, like, well, could we give it to Joe Tooney? Like, I have all these offensive linemen friends who are like, Joe Tooney deserves it. He's going against Sue and Donald. They're a non-factor. They ran the ball, 4 minute, ended the game, closing out the game with the running backs gashing them up the middle. Yeah, linebackers, DBs could have been the MVP. I think this is a team win. And Josh Gordon is as talented as he is. It was almost like a distraction to Josh McDaniels in that offense because he's such a talent and he had so much potential, and they're trying to get him going, you know, mid season, that they kind of lost their way, I think, in terms of being like just playing Patriot football. And I mentioned, you know, the last 2 weeks of the regular season when they got back on track. To me, it's almost like that loss against the Miami Dolphins. It's almost like that helped them win the Super Bowl. Like, if they win that game, I don't know if they sort of recorrect their offense the way that they did, but they did recorrect their offense, got back to playing that old school smash mouth. We're going to own the line of scrimmage. Then we're going to be situational on third down with Julian Edelman. That's kind of what they became, and they really became unstoppable. And, I don't know. In a weird way, I think that Miami Dolphins loss helped them this year.
We're talking with Matt Hasselbeck, and you just mentioned Edelman in there. And one of the conversations that has come out of the Super Bowl is whether or not Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer. Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Hall of Fame is a weird thing to me because it's voted on by the media. And as a player, you never, ever see, you try to never care too much what the media says about you, good or bad. You saw Kevin Durant go off on his rant recently.
Sure did.
Kind of like one of the best traits about football players, the best ones that I've been around, like they don't buy into the opinions of those outside the building too much. Like you buy into the opinion of your position coach, your offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, head coach, whatever it is. And, you know, let me say it this way though, for Edelman, he is uncoverable. You cannot cover the guy with one person. And, you know, I've been talking about it this season. I played with a guy named Joe Jaravicious in Seattle, and he wasn't a starter. You know, wasn't like an outside receiver. He was kind of an inside receiver for us. But he was so productive, caught like 10 touchdowns as a backup for us. And he came to me. We signed him as a free agent from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he goes, hey, listen, I don't need the ball all the time. But when I was in Tampa, they had a saying. It was third and Joe to go. Find me on third down. I will never, ever let you down. And that's what I see when I see Edelman. Edelman is the guy. Like, it doesn't matter if it's third and one, third and 10, third and 12. I mean, overtime in that Kansas City game, I think they had third and 10 twice, and he goes to Edelman both times. And then third and 9 to Gronk. I mean, talk about a go-to guy. And for any quarterback, like what Brady and Edelman have, I just don't know how you stop it. And apparently neither does any defensive coordinator in the league, because they were really unstoppable this, you know, to end the season.
Matt, when you talk about the Patriots, this team, they've won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls. When Tom Brady came out and said, I want to play till I'm 45, I think a lot of people were like, yeah, okay, whatever. He's going to be 42 in August. I mean, how long, realistically, if, you know, they're legalizing sports gambling now all over New England. So how long do you think that Tom Brady will last?
Well, I think when he says 45, it's a way of getting people to stop asking that stupid question.
But we don't stop asking it.
Well, I mean, I just remember for me, like, it was just, when I was 39, no one asked me anything. The day I turned 40, which was in September of the season, it's like it was the only question I ever asked. Thank God for me, I was teammates with Adam Vinatieri, who's like 3 years older than me, and he was still going, so I wasn't the oldest guy on our team. But I think when he says 45, that's just like a, hey, stop asking me. I will say this, though. I don't think like the physical limitations are going to be what ultimately is the major factor in when Tom Brady does decide to retire. I think, and this was my experience, and I hear him say it reading between the lines, it's family. You know, those kids are growing up. Just being around for those formative years as your kids are growing older, because playing quarterback in the NFL, to do it well, it really is. It's a 7-day-a-week job. I mean, last year it was no days off. That was the hashtag. That was Belichick's, you know, war cry. And it really is no days off. To commit to being great, and in his case, being the greatest, you know, it's a commitment, and you gotta give it all every single day of the week for most of the year. And you saw last year he didn't didn't come into OTAs, like needed the family time. I think that'll be the thing that weighs heavier than if he's able to do it physically, because clearly his game, you know, he seems to almost be getting better, not worse.
You've been part of the Monday Night Countdown crew for a few years now. What's it like working with Randy Moss every week?
It's awesome. I'll say I followed Randy. I went to Tennessee. I went to the Tennessee Titans after Seattle, and Randy Moss had a short stop there. And his reputation wasn't at all what I sort of guessed from the national media about him. We're the same draft class, but I didn't know him well. And I got there, and everyone talked about what a smart football player he was. They're like, wow, you know, we had no idea. He's like a really, really smart football player. So I'd say the good with Randy Moss, smart player, you know, knows offense and defense, really intelligent that way. The negative on Randy Moss, very, very picky eater. Like,
is that right?
Picky eater, you know.
Huh.
But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun working with him. And obviously, he's kind of the star of our show. When we go places, he's the autograph everybody wants. He's the picture everybody wants. He's the, like, if anyone has a tattoo of someone on our show, it's usually a Randy Moss tattoo. So
I feel like amongst former players, he's got to be as popular as anybody, right?
Well, he's a verb, so I think that Moss thing has really taken off. I mean, when I was in Green Bay, he got drafted to the Minnesota Vikings, and our rookie year, he just went off, took the league by storm. Our second year, when I was in Green Bay, we drafted a corner in the first round, the second round, and the third round. And we already had
wow.
a corner. It was just like, we got to come up with an answer for this guy.
Yep.
And we didn't. We didn't really. But
nobody did.
It was a chance. We took a shot at it.
Well, Matt, you're partnered up with the End It Movement. It's all over Twitter today, hashtag End It Movement. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so February 7th is kind of the day. The End It Movement is basically shining a light on raising awareness for the fact that slavery still exists today, which is crazy to think about. Human trafficking, people are being bought and sold around the globe, but not only around the globe, even here in the U.S. And so they estimate about 40 million people are still bought and sold today, which is just crazy. So you may see people drawing a red X on their hand and posting it on social media, basically just speaking up for the people who can't speak up for themselves. We got involved back when I was in Seattle. We actually had a babysitter leave and go to International Justice Mission, which was really the organization that was founded in a part because of what happened in Rwanda. If you've seen the movie Hotel Rwanda, basically people were being bought and sold, and it's going on all around the world. It's illegal, but sometimes it's not enforced. And so you may see, you know, I think you may see people talking about that a little bit more. Once you know, it's impossible to ignore. And so we've kind of jumped on board trying to support the End It Movement is any way that we can.
He's Matt Hasselbeck. You can check him out on Twitter at Hasselbeck and also the hashtag End It Movement. Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. See you guys.